Tonight I'd like to speak about, can you turn with me to 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians verse 4. What I really want to speak about is actually 2 Corinthians verse 3, but the first reading I'd like to read is 2 Corinthians verse 4. And Brother Ian prayed about this, and I was just very touched by that. What's my thought? The thought that's on my heart tonight, it is beholding Christ. Now, this is a subject that's so precious to all of us, and we all know this truth here, but I just think it's a very nice refresher to think about these things. So first I want to speak about the saving look at Christ, and then I want to talk about the transforming look at Christ. So here we see in 2 Corinthians verse 4, chapter 4, verse 6. For God who commendeth the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the face of Jesus Christ. That's really what struck me. I was going through the Old Testament, and I'll read a portion there in Exodus, but I was going through the Old Testament recently, and I was reading about this, about Moses looking at God face to face. And it brought me to this subject. Moses talking to God face to face, and how here it's a saving look at Christ. And we've heard one say, it is the look that justifies, but it is the gaze that sanctifies. And then we'll read that later on in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. What I want to talk about here is the look at Christ. For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And Brother Ian talked about that, how when God is the same creator in a physical realm, he spoke and light and life came from him. And we read back in Genesis, how he spoke and there was light and life. And just as a physical creation, how he was a creator of the physical creation. He commandeth, and out came life and light. And that's what Christ in John 1, it says, in him and the light is the light, and in him was the life as well. So they're connected. But here we see the same God who created the physical creation is the same God who created the spiritual creation. And it's the same way he has shown, but now it's not commandeth, but it's so tender and personal. He has shown in our hearts. And how did he do this? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in what? In the face of Jesus Christ. And it reminds me of Exodus. If you want to turn with me to Exodus 34, 29. Exodus 34, verse 29. You don't have to turn there. I can just read it. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterwards all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. So Moses would speak to the Lord face to face with unveiled face. And the children of Israel would not be able to look upon the glory of Moses here. His face would shine. But now we want to turn to the portion here that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 3. That's really what's on my heart. Earlier I was talking about the look at Christ's face. That's how we were justified, face to face with Christ. But the same way that we were justified is the same way that we are sanctified or transformed. And that's really what God's ultimate purpose is for us as Christians, is that we might be conformed to the image of his precious Son. And here we have, I'll start reading in 2 Corinthians 3. Now as Paul before that, for 2 Corinthians 3, 1 to 5, he talks about his, how he is, about his credentials and his commendation. And once he has set that forth, he talks about what he has been called to do. And it says here in chapter 3, verse 6 of 2 Corinthians, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter or the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. But if the manifestation of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished or put away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, and here's the most beautiful verse, but we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, here Paul is talking about the new covenant and the old covenant. And it's very important, I guess, for us Christians to be reminded of this. We all know this, but it's good to be reminded of this, that the law cannot bring any kind of sanctification to our lives. The law was given, and we heard that from Brother Ian Gibson last time. The law was given by for that the people might see that they're sinners. It is not, Paul says here, the law killeth. It is not to give life. The law killeth. And that's what the law was given for there. And you remember in, was it there in Exodus? Not sure where it was in Exodus, where the law was given and 3,000 people were killed when the law was given. And that just shows, it was really a picture of what the law does. It is not for sanctification or holiness or justification in any way. It is really just to show us our sin. That's what Paul says. By the law, I would not have known sin, but that the law says. And by the law is the knowledge of sin. So that is why God gave the law. It was given that we might know, that men might know that they're sinners. But it was never given to give life. And here it says the letter kills, but the law, but the Spirit gives life. So here's the old covenant was the law. And the law here is the moral law, the Mosaic law that God gave, the Ten Commandments, specifically here the Ten Commandments. God gave, and so many of the world nowadays, in society, in religion, so many people in where I'm from, speak about the law as a way to life. And that is really totally not the case. The Ten Commandments is a way that we, as we focus on them, that we can live it out. But that is exactly the opposite of that, because the law actually produces. As we focus on the law, it brings out all manner of sin, Paul says in Romans 7. So as we focus on the law, it is the wrong focus. The old man, the corpse, that really the one who has been crucified with Christ becomes alive. That's really what happens as we focus on the law. It's the wrong focus. But if and here it says later, so the old covenant, the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. And Paul is giving these contrasts here. The new covenant is the covenant of the Spirit. It is life. The old covenant kills. The law. The law is the ministry of death. It can only produce death, he says there. But the ministry of the Spirit produces life. It is the ministry of condemnation. So the law brings us condemnation. But the ministry of the Spirit is the ministry of righteousness, the new covenant, ministry of righteousness. And here it says how the law, now Moses came down from that mountain and they could not behold his face because it was just really a picture. That veil was over his face and they could not really behold that. Because under the Mosaic law, the moral law, it depended upon, God had a contract really between man and God. And if man did not hold up his end, God would not hold up his end. That's why it was, and man could not. That's why it could never have brought life, and they could not behold the glory of Moses' face. Moses was the only one here, and I'll get to that later, how the law was very exclusive. It was Moses alone could look at God face to face. But here in Christ, in the new covenant, we can all with open face. And the law blinded them, but we have unveiled faces now. But now I'd like to get further down to verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now freedom is a very precious topic these days. We love freedom. All of us love freedom. But here, spiritual freedom is the most precious. And the Judaizers here, that was really the ones who would have tried to bring them back under bondage, under the bondage of the law, the old covenant. And Paul is telling them here that he wants them to have liberty. And the new covenant is all about freedom. It's about freedom in Christ. And the old covenant was based upon man. And I know these are all things that we know very well, but just a refresher. This was very encouraging to me this past week. But in a new covenant, it is no more bondage, no more death, but it is life. And it says here, but we all with open face beholding. And I just love this so much because in the Old Testament, Moses was the only one, and he talked to God face to face as with a friend. But here, all of us, every single one of us, because of the veil rent, the rent veil, we can come in and we can have fellowship with God face to face. And here is really the secret to Christian holiness. We do have something that we can gaze at, but it is certainly not the law, because the law is inanimate. It has bearing upon the soul when if you're outside of Christ, because it shows forth your sin. But as a Christian, we cannot look at the law, because what it does is it only brings forth condemnation. We cannot look at others because it brings disappointments, but we can look at Christ. And that really is what God wants us to do. Is God loves it when we behold what he beholds, his precious Son. And that is this way of the Spirit. The Spirit shows forth Christ, and he reveals Christ. And here is what, if we want to become more like Christ, this is actually straight from the Word of God here, and it's just so clear. I love this. But we all with open face or with unveiled face, not like them looking upon, they couldn't look upon that which actually, like, it was glorious. It had a glory of the moral law. It had a glory that was because it was given divine instruction from God. And it was from the Lord. It was divine. It had a glory, but that glory was going to be, it was going to go away off of Moses' face. It says here, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look at the end of that which is abolished or put away. It is not lasting, because it was not supposed to last. The new covenant comes in, and it's an eternal covenant. And this new covenant is, so Moses, his glory would fade away. It was temporary, it was outward, you could see it on his face, but it was temporary, and it would actually go away. But here it's something that we're changed from the inside out. And it's changed. Notice how it's changed from glory to glory. It is not going away. It is not, the glory is not fading, but it's actually increasing. That's really the superiority of the new covenant. and of the new way and of the new gaze, that new gaze. And that's really what I really want to get out tonight, is that gaze. And the gaze here that he's speaking of is the gaze of Christ in glory. But it's not only limited to that. It is the gaze. And here we have Paul, we have John in John 1 verse 29, it says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now the Lord has always wanted us to behold him. And you get that right in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, where it says, "Behold my servant, look at him, look at him. Look at the object of Christ. He is, look at the person of Christ and his glories." Here he says, "Behold, not now the servant, but behold the Lamb of God. Look at him, which takes away the sin of the world." And he says in John 1 verse 36, "Behold the Lamb of God." Just behold him, look at him. And then it says in John 1 verse 14, this is a very precious word. And that's why it's not only Christ in glory. This is probably the primary focus that he's saying here is the risen Christ, the resurrected Christ. That's probably what he's saying here. But it's not only that, because when John speaks here in John 1 verse 14, disciples, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we, the disciples, beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So you see, even back when Christ was on the earth, they beheld his glory, they looked at him. And they were amazed at him. They beheld him. And he was full of grace and truth. Now these are even, as in all the scriptures, we find Christ. These are the glories of Christ, even the moral glories of Christ. We behold him. And it says here that the one as of the only begotten of the Father, full of moral glories, grace and truth inside. But they would also see his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. They would look at and they would see his manifested glory, coming glory. And so, but we actually also see Christ in all the Word of God, and we behold him. We behold his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, if John and his disciples saw his glory, we can also see his glory. Because here in this verse it says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass." Now, this glass here, the word there, is actually a mirror, as in a mirror. So we stand in front of a mirror, if you want to picture it. And we look into the mirror, and we look at Christ. Beholding, not trying, not mimicking, but beholding, as in a glass, as in a mirror, the glory of Christ, of the Lord, are changed. And this word here, changed, is the word of transformation. It's the same word, you get it four times in the New Testament. We find that in the Mount of Transfiguration. And he was transfigured before them. He was changed, he was transformed before them. And here is exactly what God wants us to be. As we focus on Christ, that's what the Spirit does. As we behold him, we are changed. That's exactly what Paul says here, into the same image. And you also get this word in Romans 12, where it says that we are transformed by renewing of your mind. Transformed, which is like the idea of a caterpillar. Metamorphosis is even a word in the Greek, where it's changed from one part of the caterpillar into a butterfly, and just this change, it gradually takes place. It's not a moment in time where right now I'm like Christ. A great moment happens, where it's like this moment on, I'm all of a sudden like Christ. No, it is a change that happens by a process, the sanctification process. But this is God's sanctification process. This is what he says here: we're changed, or sanctified, or transformed into the same image, from glory, one degree of glory, to another degree of glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of God has Christ. That's how the Spirit of God changes us. And I know we know these things, but this has been an encouragement to me the past week, very much so. It was just a refreshment of how Moses, in the Old Testament, the children of God could not come in there. They could only look upon Moses' face, but he couldn't even gaze upon that glory. But he says, if that glory which passed away was glorious, it is not even glorious in the glory that we have now in Christ. It exceeds it so much more, because it is permanent. That one was going to go away. It was temporary. But this is an eternal glory, and it's a glory that continues. And we're changed to become more and more like Christ. Isn't that what God wants? He wants us to be more and more like his Son. We read in Romans 8, Them, those whom he called, them he also justified. Them he also glorified. Oh, predestinated, it starts with predestinated. Then he also justified, called and justified and then glorified. And ultimately, he wants us to be like his son. That's really God's ultimate plan. But he wants it to start now. And this is God's design. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And we have a good example of this. I think it's one of the most precious examples in the scriptures is Stephen. We come to Acts 7, and what do we find there? Stephen here was a man who was filled with the Spirit of God. But what does the Spirit of God do here? It says here in Acts 7, verse 55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I just love this. And I mean, we could read into it, but you can see it pretty clearly. You find that gaze, the Holy Spirit. You find that gaze into heaven, the glory of God in Christ. And that's really what is precious to us. And it says in Acts 7, verse 59, what do we find Stephen doing? He was transformed and he was like Christ. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now here's Stephen. We all remember our dear Lord, how he was on the cross and could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Exactly what Stephen, you cannot do that in the flesh. You can't do this in the flesh. You can only do this by the Spirit, because it is so against nature. And the Spirit of God, he is God. He works in us. He produces Christ in us. As we behold Christ, as in a glass, we're changed to be like him. But then he also says, Lord, before that he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. It's exactly what Lord Jesus said on the cross. So he was just like Christ, doing what Christ did. And that is really a beautiful picture of us. As we behold our dear Lord Jesus in all his glories in the scriptures, but also his ascended glory at the right hand of God, his redemptive glory. And Jesus actually himself, and this was so touching. I shared with my wife earlier at home, and she got tears in her eyes because it was so touching, this verse here. It says in John 17, we all know this beautiful verse, but it says this here. John 17 and verse 24, it says, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold what? My glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. So you see the disciples, they beheld Christ's glory on the earth, his beautiful person, everything about him. They beheld him and they were amazed by him. And we, with open face right now, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord through the word of God, we're changed. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself wants us. He wants us, those that the Father has given him, that we might be with him, where he is. That's what he says, where I am. It's so tender. That they whom you gave me may be with me where I am, in heaven, in his glorified place. That they may behold my glory. He wants us to behold his glory. Again, that's Christ's desire, that we might behold his glory. Even in heaven, we'll behold his glory forever and ever. And it's gonna be good. It's gonna be really good. And that's really that's on my heart tonight. Time is over. There's just something here I'd like to share that I really enjoyed recently. By his main name, Norman Dowdy writes, if I am to be like him, then God in his grace must do it. And the sooner I come to recognize it, the sooner I will be delivered from another form of bondage. Throw down every endeavor and say, I cannot do it. The more I try, the farther I get from his likeness. What shall I do? Ah, the Holy Spirit says, you cannot do it. Just withdraw. Come out of it. You have been in the arena. You have been endeavoring. You are a failure. Come out and sit down. And as you sit there, behold him. Look at him. Don't try to be like him. Just look at him. Just be occupied with him. Isn't that exactly what it says here? Beholding, as in a glass. It says, just be occupied with him. Forget about trying to be like him. Instead of letting that fill your mind and heart, let him fill it. Just behold him, look upon him through the word. Come to the word for one purpose, and that is to meet the Lord. Not to get your mind crammed full of things about the sacred word, but come to it to meet the Lord. Make it to be a medium, not of biblical scholarship, but of fellowship with Christ. Behold the Lord. That was so powerful to me. And as we close here, I'd like to just say this hymn here. By and by when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face. By and by when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more. As we behold his face, amazing. Let's pray.